flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Alrighty, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask, we answer. Questions from Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. James Seltzer, what do inquiring minds? Oh, I have an inquiring mind question for you.
For
any
me?
Update on Stallone?
Not a good one.
Oh boy.
Yeah, not a good one. So we're working on it, but I'm not as hopeful as I was yesterday. I'll say that.
Wow. Well, at least you tried something.
Oh, I'm trying. Yeah, okay. But I.
Not going well.
I'm not going great.
Fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's dive in here. Good question from GoBirds86. Any favorite Super Bowl commercials throughout the years?
Bud Bowl was always my favorite. I mean, that probably
loved
lasted,
Bud Bowl.
Yeah, probably 5 to 8 years, that whole thing. I think the most poignant ever was post-September 11th, the Clydesdales bowing their heads looking in New York City. But Bud Bowl.
Clydesdales are the best. Whenever I see them, it just makes me happy.
It is cool, yeah. But Bud Bowl, if you're too young to know what we're talking about, there used to be, Budweiser versus Bud Light, I guess it was, and there were little bottles of beer, and then they would play a football game against each other. It was pretty fun.
And we actually cared about who won, and we would predict it going in, and it was ridiculous.
It was
yes.
the whole thing.
I thought Bud had a lot of great like tie-ins. For me, it was Super Bowl 21, and it was 1987, mm-hmm. and it was Spuds McKenzie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
original sure.
party animal, and his name is Spuds
sure.
McKenzie.
That's right.
What that dog was a huge deal to me, and I don't know why.
It was a huge deal to America.
That dog appeared. His grand appearance was a Super Bowl commercial.
I didn't know that.
Super Bowl 21.
Yeah.
Spuds McKenzie. I'm in middle school. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So yeah, we were all our gums were flapping at the water cooler in seventh grade the next day in school.
That's
about
pretty cool.
Spuds McKenzie.
All right, this is from the text line. Who is the Eagles player we're not talking about enough? Who you think will be a difference maker in the Super Bowl? Fun question.
Oh man,
Jahan Dotson.
Well, whoa, I don't
yes,
see that at
we
all.
Are not talking
no.
about Jahan Dotson.
We sure aren't.
Look, if he just makes the one catch Quez didn't, they win that last Super Bowl.
He's a good player, and he hasn't been included in much of what our offense has done this year because, hey, he's the third wide receiver in a run-first offense. But Jahan Dotson, I think he'll get opportunities and make good on them.
So I'm struggling here with an answer. I'm rifling through all the starters in my mind and really not coming up with anybody because I feel like we talk about all these dudes. I'll just give you a special teamer. You know, one or two tackles down the field that saves you 15 yards by pinning a guy
Sydney
back.
Sidney Brown or Keely Ringo.
I was going to say Keely Ringo.
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty good gunner, getting down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they both
Kenny
are.
Gainwell. Yeah. Kenny Gainwell has a great chance to be yeah. a difference maker in this game, too, because even though we know Saquon's going to carry the ball,
yeah.
when they go hurry up or tempo, Kenny Gainwell will have a chance to catch some balls.
He's solid, man. He's been a very solid Eagle.
Absolutely has that extra oomph, that explosiveness, yeah. the fresh legs looking playing.
By the way, I'm still annoyed I lost the Beat the Hammer because I answered Kenny Gainwell scored a touchdown for the Eagles in a Super Bowl, which he did. And then it was taken off the board because they said he was like a half inch short, and then Jalen had a quarterback
scored.
Sneak. Like, I literally lost to Beat the Hammer because of that nonsense. I saw the man score a touchdown, and that's why I remembered seeing him score a touchdown.
How upset
Boss.
Do you think Kenny Gainwell is about that?
Probably more than you.
Yeah, probably more than me. James, let's do one more question.
All right. Yeah, this is a good one for the Super Bowl. Do you guys have any game day superstitions this season that you will apply on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes, but not so much related to the season. For the biggest of big games, I wear the same two shirts that I used to wear as a kid. The same two Eagles. I have a Greg Garrity shirt. Now, it doesn't say Garrity on the back, but he
really?
Was he was number 86. He was the trash man.
Does it fit you?
So that's the thing, Rhea. It is so beyond tight and is so beyond ripped. Like, the only way it gets on is it's torn asunder to an extent. But I do remember first wearing it in fourth grade, and I still find a way to just, it's ridiculous.
So, wow, that yeah. is a that picture? Is ridiculous.
I know it is.
That is a ridiculous
it's
thing
horrible,
that you do.
But it's, yeah. It's always
good work. Good work.
Do you remember now, when
maybe
first...
we should big games have not gone our way. Maybe we should reevaluate this.
Remember when we first started the show and he was wearing that hellacious Batman costume?
Oh,
the,
yeah, that's
the paper and plastic
but that was how we forget,
Batman.
But at least
costume.
That was from college. This
but
is Joe, from fourth you, grade.
But
fourth
again,
grade.
But you're in. But you were in college wearing a fourth grade
well,
costume.
Yeah.
And then you continued to wear it for the next 20 years.
I did.
Why are you wearing fourth grade clothing?
Because I am
for 20 years.
Superstitious. Well, that the Batman thing is I was complimented for being good looking in the Batman thing. So that was just about my ego. Low self-esteem
so
that I had.
You never got compliment
wrong.
Again. You just keep
no.
rolling with it.
James, let me explain something to you. A guy like me, when I get compliment,
you
know,
hang on
I,
to that. You grab
know,
it and,
yeah,
and hold it.
Totally.
She, for life. On
wrong?
For life.
And what if she was joking?
No, that girl was serious
what if
and,
she
I,
was
and I lost her.
But she
I lost
can't,
her.
But she can't see your face in that.
I'm well
like,
aware.
So,
that's why
what
she probably...
kind of compliment is that, really?
I don't have to tell you, man. I had it going on that night.
Did
I
you?
Had swag until
well,
I did.
Well, maybe.
You
not.
Know?
Maybe not.
It was a shame.
Much.
All right, with that AMA, we shut it down. All right, let's go to the phones. Eagles, Chiefs, Super Bowl
don't
4 days.
Worry, I don't have any game day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, just shut it down.
What do you got? What do you got, buddy?
I really don't. I don't know.
Well, then there you go. Then I won't worry about it. Okay.
I honestly
that was
God,
really funny.
That was
I,
good.
I try to watch the games with my kids, with my mom whenever possible.
Yeah.
That's the tradition. And now, this year there has been a shirt, a Kelly Green shirt.
Wear it.
A T-shirt.
Wear it.
That it has been worn every
so,
week.
So me too.
Of course
I have a
that.
Shirt that the
that
only
goes without saying.
The only I started wearing it after the bye. The only week I didn't wear it was Washington when they lost.
No
so
way.
That's all I have.
Well,
is
that's
a shirt.
A clear cut.
And it's a Philly special shirt. And
yeah.
I'm wearing it. Yeah. That's all I got.
Yep. Yeah.
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 The other thing I'd say is I win.
It's a must win.
It's not a game day, but I win Beat the Hammer on Friday. They win. So just remember for the
that's
audience
not,
on Friday.
That's not at all.
That's fine. All that means is the pressure is squarely on you on Friday.
No,
you,
it's on the
if that's the way you want to play.
I don't think so. I mean, you got to answer questions correctly.
No, and the contestant has to answer questions incorrectly. I'm just saying.
Do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to give the Eagles the Super Bowl? No, you have to win it. You have to show up.
I heard
I
one time.
You
I won't specify.
Think this is
I can't specify. I heard one time there's a guy that might have thrown a championship game.
No.
I heard it.
No way.
Wasn't pro.
It was like Tony from Blue Chips.
Wasn't pro. I'm not going to say.
What
are we doing
here?
I'm not
shaving
say,
points?
I'm not
well,
going to say
I'm
who.
I'm sure that has happened.
I'm not going to say who, but it was a notable player.
Well, 1919? Yeah, we know.
No. In our lifetime, in a championship game in either college football or basketball.
No way.
I'm not saying it's true. I don't know that it's true. I'm just telling you I was told. By someone they thought it
I have
happened.
Immediate guesses that come to mind.
Okay.
Me too.
All right, let's go to the phones. Mike is with us. What's going on, Mike?
Did you just start guessing live on the air? No.
No.
Okay.
Mike, what's up, man?
Go Birds!
Go Birds,
four
Michael.
4 days, baby. 4 more days.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Joe, I tell you what. If this time of year right now, going to the Super Bowl, if this doesn't get you motivated to get your health together and go back to the gym, I don't know what it's ever going to do. I mean, this now's the time. You should be so pumped up right now.
I am.
Now it's time to get back to the gym. Well, you are, but you're not.
Yeah, but you got to remember, my form of pumped up is sit on the couch and watch Dirty Harry, which I did yesterday. Like, that's, for me, that's an exciting day. And right?
Well, as long as that wasn't a pornographic version of it, we're good.
No, but it was Suzanne Summers naked in the pool.
Well, okay. I can't hate
that's
on
a whole,
that.
That's
Suzanne
a whole...
Summers was
uh-huh.
in
the...
I didn't know she was in Dirty
uh-huh.
Harry.
And then she gets killed.
Wait.
Well, spoiler alert of a 50-year-old movie. What the hell?
Suzanne Summers, before she's famous.
What was the name of the movie?
Oh, well, that one was the original. I think that one was called Dirty Harry. The second one, which I watched last night, was Magnum Force. I watched them back-to-back days.
Wow.
Yeah, Suzanne Summers, before she's famous, she's in a scene for about 7 seconds. She's topless, and she's dead.
Wow. She's actually topless?
Yeah. I saw.
Does it still work for you that she's dead?
Double dead, if you think about it, right? Dead
yes,
in the movie
she's
and,
yeah,
and then actually dead.
Yeah.
Does it still work for me candidly? The answer is yes.
That's disturbing.
I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I don't...
You know what I'm saying?
Like, can't, well, certain things it? You just can't control.
I mean, they don't scrub the internet of porn after you someone's say, died. I mean, Debbie might be dead, but she's still on the internet.
That's a fair point.
She still does Dallas.
Oh, man. Oh,
no, I mean, I don't know if she's dead or alive. I don't even know who it is. Mike, bail me out here. Help
I
me out.
I don't know what it is.
Bail him out, yeah.
All right. Let's reel this one back in. Let's reel this one back
okay.
in. Just real quick, I just want to very quickly say, you know what? Joe, nobody is underestimating the Chiefs. Okay, we know who the Chiefs are. Okay, they're a great team. I think people are not – I don't think people are fully, you know, estimating us properly. I think we're the ones being underestimated. We are good.
I think I'm underestimating us, though, Mike. When I ruminate on this game, I sit here and I think, you know what? We are going to power run. You know, we're going to pull guards and tackles. We're going to dominate up front. And we could, and then I start thinking, we could be up by 2 scores. We could get up to where they have to throw. And then, of course, I've seen Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl get completely abused by a D-line that can get to him in a pass-first, pass-only situation, Super Bowl 55, where Patrick Mahomes looked like a human being. And and Tom Brady ended up winning with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against him. Yeah. I get that in my head. I get stuck on that. And then, you know, the record starts skipping and I realize, hey, they really are a legitimately awesome team. They are the world champs. Yeah. They were 15-2, which is the best record, the best regular season record under Andy Reid with Mahomes leading the way that they've ever had. This team is arguably the best at winning the close games of all those teams in Kansas City that have won Super Bowls.
Look, they're 17-1 when they try this year. That's saying something. Mike, give me an answer. What song should the Eagles come out of the tunnel to?
Right before I do, because all my favorite Giant fans are in the gym right now, so I am giddy.
Losers!
You big blew it with Saquon, and he is going to win a Super Bowl in 4 days, suckers!
I think that's the song they should come out of the tunnel
that
to,
That was awesome, dude.
Well done, Michael.
You blew it, suckers.
All right, Mike, you got to give me a song. Give me a song. Is that it?
You know what? They might be great, but they not like us, as Kendrick Lamar said.
You got it, man. Appreciate the call, Mike. All right, it is coming up soon. I feel like today is the first time I woke up and said, like, we're getting pretty close. Do you feel that, John?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't quite feel that yet. No. I think about the fact that this is the first day that they're practicing.
Yeah, the real practicing. Yeah.
This is, you know, like the week of Wednesday, massive install under ordinary circumstances. But we know that they started a lot of that install last week to get ahead of things. I'm sort of still in... It's just the beginning mode. I don't know.
Boy, I think it's getting near the end mode.
I know. See, that's the. I think it's just like an automatic thing. I know that they're just like embarking upon this installation trip. That's going to be a lot. Like,
but they've also already done a lot. They've all, you know, the players talked about how they got a good chunk at home. Yeah. And they're going to get another chunk down there of information.
It's going to be, but this is back to the rigors of the commonplace.
No, you got a football game. You got to prepare.
Be meetings all morning. You know, starting guys went in. They started getting treatment at 6 o'clock. But now they're getting treatment in different facilities. You know, I guess they're in the Saints facility.
Yep.
And guys are there in meetings. Special teams meeting was probably 8 o'clock. So those guys are there. Team meeting will probably be 9 o'clock. It's just
remember
the
one hour difference, just for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like 7:25 is not 7:25.
Right.
Don't cut that audio, James. But I think you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
7:25 is 6:25.
I don't think it's that great in audio anyway.
It's not. Yeah. My point is,
remember that time Joe said the time wasn't the time?
Well, my point is, it's like saying one doesn't equal one. You sound like a buffoon. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think it was that bad.
All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to some audio of Jeffrey Lurie and Nick Sirianni, what they've said in recent days. Audio we haven't played on our show. Kelsey, that's Jason Kelsey, weighing in on Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to that shortly. Russ Tucker in 5 minutes with us. Lou, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, crew. How y'all doing?
Doing great, Lou.
Super Bowl week. I'm hyped. I can't believe it's here, but it's here. I called yesterday at the end of the show. I botched the double play. It's turning too quick.
Turning two.
Yeah, so my son, I just dropped him off at school, so I wish he would have gotten to me like 10, 15 minutes before because he wanted to get on. But anyway, this kid is lucky. Turned 17 yesterday. His 10th Jeez. Birthday. We got our first Super Bowl win as an Eagle. And it was just ecstatic.
He's spoiled.
A crazy moment. He is spoiled. And something I mentioned to you guys before, I know you're not going to remember, it's during the 50, Super Bowl 57 run. Me, I'm 36, so I was born in 88. Before we even won Super Bowl 52, I used to go back every year. I watched the NFC Championships. I watched the one Super Bowl 39. So now I'm doing it with Super Bowl 52. I'm doing it with Super Bowl 57 now. Yep. So it's like a ritual for me. But this kid, like, so what I want for this weekend, I need us to win for myself, as if I can be selfish, if I can for a moment, for my inner child. And I think you all, besides Richie, will kind of understand where I'm coming from. I'm ready to get over to Andy Reid. Like, we always talk about how much is Andy Reid a great coach. Was he a great coach? Yeah, he is, but I'm ready to I think I'm ready to accept Nick Sirianni and these Eagles as my primary Eagles team. I'm ready to let go of the 2000s. I'm sorry, Richie, I love you, but I got to get rid of it. Andy Reid, I can't even believe what he has done with the Chiefs. It doesn't even seem like the same guy. And my son is spoiled because he doesn't even know what it's like to even be hurt and then see another man go to another coach, go to another team, and then have this dynasty. And it's annoying. I can't have
it. It's a fascinating phone call, Lou. What you're saying here is really fascinating to me on a lot of levels. You know, I feel a little bad for you that you're talking about getting rid of that era kind of from your heart, because to me, you can embrace all the eras. But I understand what you're getting at, that there was hurt.
And we're facing Andy. I don't think. Yeah.
But what Lou's really saying is the end of those seasons, as great as many of them were for 4 months back then, there was always hurt at the end.
And he's right. Yeah.
And he is right.
I look back on that era more with pain than positivity. Like, you just do.
I look back with more positivity, but I can't ignore the pain. I can't, you know, Lou, when you say you go back and watch the big games, like, first thing that went through my head is, do you really spend the 3 hours to go back and watch the Eagles in Tampa?
Sounds horrible.
Because the first 10 minutes are incredible, and the next 2 hours and 50 minutes are a disaster.
We ran the ball down their
throats. Stop after the Deuce touchdown and just be like, oh, this probably ends well.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, the Carolina game I could never watch again.
Well, that one
was.
Anyway,
if you go through YouTube, they got cut down. They're down to like an hour and 45 minutes. So
sounds like the worst way I can spend an hour and 45 minutes.
But, hey, look, honestly, most of the time I do it is when I'm falling asleep. So I kind of fall asleep halfway through it. We all know the outcome.
Yeah, but, well, we do know the outcome.
Like, what I really want to say is I don't want to get rid of that error completely. It's just that I want to get rid of that hurt. That, for me, I was 12, 13, 14, 15. Like, my kid doesn't know any of that.
No, well, of course he wouldn't.
The Super Bowl, we're going to win it. So I need a winning team. I need what Doug said last time. I need this to be the new norm. I want to get rid of that. I want to be able to talk about it and be like, you know what? But now we got 3, 4, 5 championships. I'm tired of Dallas and New York and all of them rubbing it in. We only got one, and we got to talk about this.
Well, Lou, I think I'll just say this. What also applies to me that I'm sure resonates with you. We don't. It's been 50 years since any team in Philadelphia sports has won two. Like meaning. Back to back. I mean, the Flyers did it in this 50 years ago. 50 years ago.
Jeez.
So we haven't had, like, I was annoyed when I watched Ken Burns baseball and they did the 10th inning and they got to the 2000s and they spent, I'm not making this up, they spent maybe 6 seconds on the Phillies of Utley, Howard, Rollins, Hamels, like 6 seconds. 6 seconds. Had the Phillies won in 09, they might have gotten a 5-minute chunk. This was a team that defined the era, but they lost in 09, so they only got 6 seconds instead of 5 minutes. I want 5 minutes. I want to be able to say my team, and I want to be able to say this 30 years from now, my team, when I was 46, 47, 48 years old, that's my age and where I'm headed, my team in that era dominated the sport and won multiple championships. And unless you're 70 years old and remember the Flyers 50 years ago, you can't say that. No one can say that as a Philadelphia sports fan. Villanova a little bit, but, you know, that's obviously doesn't resonate with the whole town. All right, Lou, give me an answer. What song should they come out of the tunnel to?
Joe, thank you real quick. Thank you for wrapping it up. That's exactly what I wanted to say in those words. Thank you. That's what I need. I need, because we could have had that in the early 2000s. And
that's right. They could have. They could have had that. Yeah.
This window is wide open. We have to keep it open for the next few years. My team, so my song, like, this team is pretty notorious. Hurts is notorious, keeping the main thing main thing. AJ's notorious with the interactions. We all know how Nick Sirianni is notorious for talking too damn much. Notorious Thugs. Let's come out to Notorious Thugs, B.I.G.
All right, Lou. Love it, man. Hey, Lou, phenomenal phone call, buddy. Appreciate that. Really a very thought-provoking call. All right, Ross Tucker, always thought-provoking. Ross joins us from the Big Easy, coming up in 1 minute.
The cold weather is making a return, unfortunately, today. Now, one of the best ways you can protect your home from the cold is properly installed and insulated windows. I trust Window Nation. I've trusted them for well over a decade for a number of jobs, number of projects throughout my home.
If you want more reasons to trust Window Nation, how about an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau? A 50-point inspection of every window before it leaves the factory, and then a 20-point inspection of every window when it's installed.
This February, you can miss Groundhog's Day, you can miss President's Day, even miss Valentine's Day, although I do not recommend that. Never works out well. But don't miss your chance to save 60% off all windows and pay nothing for 2 years only from Window Nation.
February is a short month, and if you haven't looked at your calendar yet, it ends on February 28th, which coincidentally is the last day that you can save 60% off all window styles from Window Nation.
So if you're thinking about new windows, now is the time. Window Nation's got top quality windows and 96% customer satisfaction rating. So call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com today.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, we got Rhea, we got Seltzer, and it's wonderful to be with you 4 days to the Super Bowl. Let's remind you the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevy Trailblazer starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, is Patrick Mahomes the best football player ever? Ever. Is he? A, yes. B, no. Obviously, Jim Brown's gotten that claim many times through the years. Jerry Rice has had it at times. Joe Montana's had it. A lot of people right now will say Tom Brady. A lot of people are starting to move to Mahomes. Is Mahomes the greatest player of all time? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's talk to Ross Tucker. I mean, he has been everywhere and right now is down in New Orleans getting ready for the big game. He's right there at Radio Row, and he joins us right now. Ross, good morning, buddy.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Fired up, excited, a little nervous, anxious, somewhat confident, but not overconfident, Ross. This is a big challenge. All right, Ross, a lot of ways to go. Before we go inside the game, let's go inside where you are. Give us, you're there, we're not. I don't mean just the room you're in. I mean the town you're in. Give us some sights and sounds over the last 2-3 days, some things that have stood out to you. What do you know that we don't know? What do you know that our audience doesn't know?
Ooh, good questions. I guess I would start with saying at the media night, it definitely felt like there were more Eagles fans than Chiefs fans. Although there was the most were Saints fans because it was the Monday. Like, how many people come for Monday?
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's true.
If you're coming for the game on Sunday, I mean, I guess kudos to people that can come for the whole week. Good for you. But it did seem like there were more Eagles fans. I've seen more Eagles jerseys.
What's the percentage there, Ross?
I don't know, probably 70-30.
Good.
Something like that. Interestingly, you know, it's not that hot of a ticket right now.
I think that can benefit the Eagles, Ross. I think the frequency that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl could create a home field advantage for the Eagles on Sunday. I believe that.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, it's the fifth Super Bowl in 6 years for the Chiefs, so I don't know how many of their fans are coming. I don't know Eagles. I mean, you know, they were in it 2 years ago. So I would imagine there will be more Eagles fans, a decent amount more. I don't know if it rises to the level of being home field advantage, but it shouldn't be the other way. The other thing I liked about Media Night, it reminded me that it's an artificial surface indoors, and so that will not be an issue.
Yeah.
And I know it was the same for both teams 2 years ago. So when I point this out, I'm not saying it was a competitive disadvantage for the Eagles. I'm just saying it was totally BS that that happened in a Super Bowl.
Well, it was a competitive, on top of being a competitive, the Eagles pass rush, like it mitigated. It definitely was a competitive advantage the way the teams were built.
I agree with James. I agree entirely. The Eagles had a stronger pass rush and it hurt the Eagles more.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, but I try to stay as objective as possible. You know what I mean? Like, both teams are on the same field,
yep.
Whatever. You know, it's funny. Most of the conversation is about the Chiefs. You know, because I'm here on Radio Row, so I go from station to station. And the two things they talk about a lot are the officiating, a lot. I mean, that gets brought up in almost every interview.
Yep.
Which is a little bit annoying. And then there's a lot of talk about, you know, where this puts Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You know, and how the Eagles can win a close game, which is really, I don't want to say there's a consensus, but I would say, and I put myself in this category, to be honest with you, I would say there's a healthy skepticism that if it's a one-score game late, that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, who are probably the two people in the Eagles organization that nationally people have the most skepticism about, right? Like they sure. know how good the roster is and the O-line and Saquon, but they're still not sold, probably like you, Joe, they're not totally sold maybe on Sirianni and Hurts. And so compare and contrast, the one team has a quarterback and head coach that you're not totally sold on. The other team has a quarterback and head coach that are both going to be first ballot Hall of Famers and might be considered the best that have ever done it in their role when they're done. That's a lot for people to wrap their heads around in terms of the Eagles winning a close game. I mean, the belief is for the Eagles to win, they got to be up two scores in the fourth quarter, run away with it, kind of like the Buffalo Bills did in that regular season game against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
because so, we've all just seen it so often when it's a close game late.
So it sounds this is just this unspoken perception there, like in Super Bowl land.
I think you're saying spoken, not unspoken.
Spoken and unspoken. Yeah. That well, you look at the fact that the Chiefs are still favored by a point and a half in this game.
Yeah,
that has not budged, and we're sitting here in Philadelphia, Ross, thinking like, what gives here? We feel like we're the stronger roster, the stronger team, and everyone's giving the Chiefs just too much clout. Is there an argument to be made for that side of things?
I think the problem is, John, throughout history, even when one team has seemingly had the better roster, it does seem like the team with the better quarterback and the better coach pulls it out at the end. I mean, the Patriots didn't have a better roster a lot of those years with Brady and Belichick.
Right.
I mean, you go down the line. It's not always, but
no, it's definitely not always. Elway lost to Phil Simms. Elway lost to Doug Williams. Better team can be better quarterback.
Ago,
no, I know, but you are right. The reality is, the best quarterback normally wins the game. That is a fact. So
Let me ask you guys this. Somebody said this to me yesterday, Rush. I thought it was so interesting. We all agree that the Eagles have the better roster, right? Top to bottom. We all agree.
I do agree
yes.
with that.
Yes.
Okay. So, but somebody said to me, okay, yeah, I get that, Ross, but let's say you were starting a team and you could have the Chiefs roster or the Eagles roster. Which one would you pick?
Because of Mahomes?
And the reality is because of Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think I'd pick the Chiefs roster.
Yeah, he's worth like 15 players. I know what you're saying. If
yeah, because you can manipulate the other guy. You can build around the quarterback, but we can't make Hurts as good as Mahomes.
No, I think that's right. All right, this is fascinating. Let's get some calls here. Ross with us for an hour fielding phone calls. He's there. New Orleans, we're here, obviously. Wonderful to be
New
with
Orleans.
You. Say it again.
New Orleans.
You can say it either way. Ross, what is
no,
the...
No, you can't.
Yeah, sure. Well, you do. Ross, what is the
well,
right way to say
do.
It? Well, a lot of people do. Ross, what's the right way to say it?
Well, if you're from down here, you say Nawlins, like N-A-W-L-I-N-S.
Yep.
If you have any culture in your body at all, you say New Orleans. If you are a Yankee weirdo adult, you say New Orleans.
And which one do I? And which one do
you
I say?
You say the Yankee weirdo adult
Yankee
one. You say New Orleans.
I am a Yankee. I am an adult, and I am a weirdo.
Yeah,
no problem.
You just
New
want to
Orleans.
Be wrong.
Oh, I know, I'm bad. All right, let's go to the phones. John in Southampton. John, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. It's been a minute. How you doing?
I'll tell you, it has been. I don't know how long, but it's been some time.
I just wanted to let you guys know I woke up today pretty nervous for the first time. I And I want to bring up a couple of points why I'm nervous, and maybe you guys can put my mind at ease.
Okay.
Okay.
Does anybody know if Juergens is starting this week?
Yes. It sounds like the offensive line is going to give it a go, and those guys will be back playing where they have played most of the season, at center and guard, Landon and Cam.
You know, I mean, I know Stoughton, he's a great coach and all, but I didn't like the idea of what they did last week when they put Dickerson on center, because he wound up getting hurt over there.
Well, he did not have an especially good game. He struggled in the new capacity, and it's hard to tell whether that was because he was so far outside his comfort zone, whether he was banged up and that was physically limiting him, but it was – it wasn't good, and he ended up causing problems.
To be fair, though, John, we don't know that that knee got further banged up because he played center. I mean, I don't think that's a fair correlation. But, look, it was out of whack last week. It should be back in whack.
It'll be much better.
Yeah.
And they got one game left. They know this is it. They don't have to budget any longer, and they're just going to let it all fly out.
And 2 weeks off, 2 weeks off helps.
Yes,
I mean, that's
big
time. That's a big deal.
And another pretty good idea that I think that I came up with, and Ross, you could chime in on this one too, because I think that the Eagles, when they first get the ball on their first series, that they should at least go over the top one play just to back those corners off and get those safeties on their heels.
Well, sure.
I would guess there
will be shots throughout. You're going to, in that first 15, I remember with Andy Reid, we always would have a pass 67, which was a fake stretch where Donovan was, you know, getting that ball out there as Brian Westbrook is, his aiming point is the outside cheek of the tackle, inside cheek of the tight end. And then he's reversing out, it's play action, looking downfield.
But that's not what this
always
team does much.
No,
they move more methodically.
Deep shots when
do,
it's there,
but it's more of a methodical approach. It is,
and a lot of times it's, hey, if we bring those safeties down because our run game is so successful, if we get looks on the outside that are favorable, Jalen's going to signal something to AJ or to Devontae, and then we got a man matchup that we're going to take advantage
John,
of.
John, I got a lot to get to here, my man. Give me an answer. This can win you either the Hurts or Brandon Graham signed jerseys. Okay, which song should the Eagles come out of the tunnel to?
Who let the dogs out?
No.
Dumb mentality.
No.
Come on.
No, that was the Mets song back around 01. Can't get down with that. Maybe that was 2000, something like that. All right.
They don't own the song, John.
No, but it is bad that I know that, because that was when I was also...
Yeah, you're Benioff, Bayani, and your whole squad. Your Mets squad.
Jay Payton, Robin Ventura.
Is that when you
John
were talking Olerud about
John Olerud wearing the helmet? First
a
base
fan because they were playing the Braves.
Well, I was unified with my friends who were anti-Braves, and I was anti-Braves, and the Mets and Phillies fans got together, and you guys just
No. The Phillies fan, you.
Okay,
got
well,
together.
I went to college up that way, and that actually did happen. All right, so let's get to something that also happened. Nick Sirianni, Ross, I want to get your thoughts on this here, because we just heard the last caller talking about, you know, offensive linemen playing through some injury. I thought this, what Sirianni said yesterday, a real window into his mindset. And also into Mekhi Becton's mindset, which I really appreciate. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
I'm emotional, as you guys know. And so, you know, at the end of games, and I think sometimes when I say I'm emotional, you kind of think of different things. But I can't tell you how many times after a game I'm overcome with emotion, with just everything. And I love when other players are like that, too. And so Mekhi and I have had some really awesome embraces after games, and I love about Mekhi that, you know, there's been games where he's just been exhausted and his body just is tired and limping off the field after a score, but had that smile on his face and had that connection with his teammates of, man, I just gave everything up for you guys. I did, and I love that about him of just, man, he's giving it up for his teammates. He truly loves his teammates. His teammates love him. And he's been a great addition, obviously, to this team for this year.
You know, Ross, one of the things that has stood out to me, these guys do feel very together. I mean, the 17 Eagles felt that way. Last year did not. And it does feel like these guys play for each other and truly enjoy each other's company and lay it on the line, to say the least. And all of that, I'm not saying the Chiefs don't, Ross. I'm not as close to them. But all of that from an Eagles standpoint obviously speaks to something really good about this team.
No question. I get the same vibe, you know, being around them and getting a chance to talk with a bunch of them, in particular Monday night, both, you know, on camera and off camera. And the one thing I don't think he gets enough credit for, two things about Sirianni that really jump out to me. One is, I do think the players, almost everyone I've ever talked to, they really like him. So
yep.
No matter what the fans feel like, you know, based on what we see from him, you know, the players really like him. The other thing, and John can speak to this, I had 9 head coaches in my time in the NFL. What I like the most about Sirianni, he's authentic. Like, that is who he is. When he first got the job, I remember us being like, is this what this guy is really like? Yeah, this is what he's really like. Like, this is him, right or wrong. This is him. And I think in general in life, and certainly like with a coach, as long as a guy is genuine and authentic and you get the same guy every day, then you're going to usually embrace that guy. You know, there's other guys that are frauds, or they say one thing to you and then they're different when the cameras are out. Like, Sirianni wears it on his sleeve. He's an emotional guy. I think the players understand that, but they like who he is and they appreciate that he's the same guy every day. I can assure you, not every head coach is like that. There's a lot of phonies out there.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And I'll tell you this, Ross, I also think Sirianni and Saquon both deserve tremendous credit for the way they navigated that Saquon try to break the record or not break the record at the end of the regular season thing. Like, that was tricky. You know, that was a major, major, major record in America that unfortunately Saquon didn't get. Saquon wanted it. Various players on the team wanted it. Half the fans wanted it. We were doing polls. Should they play the players to play Saquon or not? And, you know, like, they moved right through that. And at the end of the day, or the beginning of the day, Sirianni was the one, sounds to me like, made the call. He's like, you know what? Love you. Like, think about that. Like, one of the things we get frustrated, John, with Joel is, when do they say no to Joel Embiid? Nick Sirianni looked Saquon Barkley in the face and said, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because we have a greater goal in mind, and they obviously are 60 minutes of football away from achieving that goal. I appreciate that.
I think Nick Nurse last night said no to Joel Embiid for playing more than 30 minutes. He said, no one will play more than 30 minutes, and then Joel played 36.
Yeah, Joel played well last night, but isn't playing tonight for what it's worth. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Joe in Mayfair right now. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, morning crew. And I got a task to take with you, Joe, before I get into the game.
With me?
Yes, with you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Tin Man came out last night
and
WD-40 and had a heart last night for a change. But you feeling sorry for this Hammond Egger, this guy who just...
You talking about Joel?
Yes.
Well, the part I feel... Listen, Joe, I think you are cold-hearted if you don't feel somewhat sorry for him that his body's breaking down.
Zero, because he didn't take care of his body along the way.
Joe, this is why I feel sorry for Rhea in that studio today. Yeah. Joe, you go after Jalen, but I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm disgusted with Joel. I'm disgusted with him.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Would you rather have Joel Embiid go up against the Boston Celtics in game 6 or 7?
Yep.
Or would you rather have Jalen Hurts playing in the Super Bowl? Who do you trust more?
I trust Jalen Hurts more.
Then you just, you're the biggest hypocrite over the last 2-3 seasons.
Well, you're twisting it around
just,
a bit, but
no,
I,
I'm not.
Well, okay.
Joel Embiid wets the bed in the biggest game.
I know he does.
And you still feel sorry for this guy where Jalen Hurts just gives you everything every day. I don't get your mentality, Joe. I just don't.
Yeah, but I think you're overstating the sorrow I feel for Joel. I also have tremendous disgust for Joel. I don't want to hear the sorrow, Joe.
I don't want to hear the sorrow.
I know. You want it to be 100-0. Look, you want it to be 100-0 ratio. That's not what I feel. I mean,
He caused it himself in all the angst with Sixers fans. He ruined this organization single-handedly in the last 5-10 years. Single-handedly.
Well, definitely not single-handedly, because decisions were made by others that really also hurt. So it's definitely not single-handed.
Now, the big game on Sunday. Now, Ross, I love X's and O's with the game. And what I saw from the Eagles last week is they threw some wrinkles in with a little pitch to Devontae going one way, Barkley going the other. They did the same thing with Goddard. I think that sets up because I don't believe that the Eagles want the Chiefs going up the A-gap and getting the Hurts where he has to go to the outside real quick. When the Eagles run misdirection, Barkley one way, either Smith or Goddard the other, I think that prevents the Chiefs from going up the gut, which I think helps Jalen with the running lanes because I don't think we've seen him pull it and pass it when they do that. Will that help the Eagles where Spags can't blitz up the middle because he's got players going other directions? And will that help Jalen with more visibility in the middle of the field when he does hold it?
All right, Ross, what do you make of that?
I do like the fact that they've shown a little bit more horizontal backfield action. I can't sit here and say that that means Spags won't blitz, but I like even when they fake the sweep to Saquon one way and then Hurts comes with the lineman the other way, the two pulling linemen. Kellen Moore does some really nice stuff in that regard. I thought it was interesting, too, in the NFC Championship game, they used motion more, and the motion was actually to go ahead and take away the run defenders, the run support for the Commanders. So it's kind of a mixed bag because it looks like Kellen Moore is going to get the Saints job. So just as I'm praising Kellen Moore and he's doing some creative things that I think have helped them, it looks like the Eagles are going to be in the market for another guy. We'll worry about that after the Super Bowl. I will say this. I didn't realize this until Dan Orlovsky posted this morning. And it's not only it plays off the question but for this listener, but the caller before about going deep. Do you realize Devontae Smith has played against the Chiefs three times? He has at least six catches in all three games against Spagnuolo and the Chiefs, at least 99 yards in all three games against Spagnuolo and the Chiefs, and he has at least two explosive, which is a catch of 20 yards or more.
Yeah, he's dominated.
So it's interesting. Devontae's kind of been a Chiefs killer. I don't know. Did you know that off the top of your head? I didn't like realize that.
Well, no, and he could have had even more if they'd freaking called that play right by the referees near the end of the first half of Super Bowl 57 when he caught the ball in bounds and they didn't give him the freaking 30 yards or whatever. I think with that play alone, they might have won the Super Bowl. Joe, give me an answer. But he has been good, Ross. It's good to point out. Joe, give me an answer. What song should the Eagles come out of the tunnel to?
Well, you got one shot, and this is it. And it's got to be
we all know where that one's going.
That's a really good answer.
Great
right
answer.
Yeah, that's big time.
Now, one quick question about, though. Does the Detroit Lions Eminem part of it factor in at all? Just asking. I'm just asking.
Well, here's the other problem. Does having lost in the Super Bowl 2 years ago factor into it? Because it's now two shots.
Oh, that's another good point.
Sort of.
I'm asking for a friend. John, go
ahead.
Hey,
Ross. So when we're talking about schemes and everything else, I want to know if we can rise above scheme as it pertains to Patrick Mahomes. Our defense needs to make him uncomfortable. And I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. Like, Patrick Mahomes, is he able to be made uncomfortable at this point?
I think there have been some games this year, certainly, where he has not looked comfortable and that people have been able to get pressure on him. I was talking with Moro Ajuma as well as Nolan Smith Monday night, and I said, what's the key? What's the key when you go against Mahomes? They made some interesting points. Number one, I think Nolan Smith said, don't leave your feet. Right, because Mahomes is so good at those pump fakes, and it's like a natural human reaction to leave your feet. But then Ajuma said something that I thought was really interesting. He said, wait as long as possible before you throw to try to tackle him. What they've noticed on tape is that guys dive for Mahomes too early, and he just kind of steps out of it because they dive too early. So I like the fact that it seems like they have a pretty good plan.
Does that mean he's quicker than perceived? I mean, I'm just trying to understand
that.
He's
a little nifty, where he can sidestep at the last second.
I don't know. I got to pull it up. He either ran a 4.8 or a 4.9 at the combine. I have never seen a guy run a 4.8 or 4.9 be as fast as he needs to be on every third down.
Like 4.8.
He's the fastest 4.8 I think I've ever seen, because whenever the situation arises, he gets the yards he needs to get. The other thing I think I want to make this point for, I could do a camera the whole game on the right guard for the Chiefs, Trey Smith, who's like my favorite offensive lineman in the league. He's gonna break Landon's contract record. He'll be the highest paid guard in NFL history in a month from now. The right guard for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are gonna slide their line left a lot to protect Tooney, the left tackle, who's really a guard, and Caliendo. That means a lot of one-on-ones between Trey Smith, the Chiefs' right guard, and Jalen Carter.
That's awesome.
Not only are they both awesome players, they are both junkyard dogs. Like, they will both punch each other in the face. And just, like, I could literally just have a camera watching that matchup the whole game. And the reality is, Jalen Carter has to win. You know, in a one-on-one matchup, I know Trey Smith's a good player. If Jalen singled up, he has to win that matchup. Even talking with Trey Smith Monday night, he kind of acknowledged it's going to be those guys one-on-one a lot. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say the winner of those one-on-one battles, that's a major edge to see who wins the game.
Yeah, no, wow. I agree with you, Ross, because it's going to influence Mahomes and Hurts so dramatically. You know, I'm flipping the wrong way here. I was thinking about Chris Jones on the
Mahomes,
other side. But,
yeah.
But yes, the influence inside is going to influence the quarterback and influence plays based on how those defensive tackles do or do not shine.
And that's how Mahomes lost his Super Bowl that he lost.
Big part of it.
And how good is Joe Tooney as a tackle, Ross?
You know, it doesn't look good, John, but he's getting the job done. You
really
can tell he's a guard by trade.
Not graceful, but effective.
That's exactly right. That said, I mean, with Josh Sweat and Nolan Smith and these guys, I mean, that's another matchup that the Eagles have to win. The reality is, we talked earlier about Andy Reid and Mahomes and all that. These other matchups where the Eagles could have an edge, They have to win those matchups. And I would argue they have to win those matchups handily.
Wow.
Right? Like they have to win those matchups over and over again. And I certainly think that they're capable, but it needs to happen. Nolan Smith, Josh Sweat, I don't think either tackle for the Chiefs is that great. I think all these guys, it's gotta be a dominant D-line game. And by the way, just one thing I'm thinking about here. You know, everything everybody's saying about Mahomes, Andy Reid versus Sirianni and Hurts, including me, by the way. I got to be honest with you guys. I said the exact same thing about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick against Nick Foles and Doug Peterson.
Of course.
So it can happen. It has happened. We've seen it happen. So it can absolutely happen in a one-game scenario.